From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. A marathon session by House and Senate negotiators ends in agreement on the biggest overhaul of the nation's financial regulations since the Great Depression.
Mr. Chairman, the votes are 7 aye, 5 nay. The bill is passed.
I thank my colleagues immensely.
A relieved Senate Banking Committee Chairman Chris Dodd reacting to the final vote tally after an all-night session to hammer out a compromise from House and Senate versions of the measure. The final legislation includes restrictions on banks doing trades for their own benefit and on their trading in derivative securities. The agreement clears the way for final passage of the legislation next week. Lawmakers have failed to find common ground, though, on legislation to extend unemployment benefits for hundreds of thousands of jobless Americans. Democrats fell 3 votes short of the margin they needed to advance that bill. Democratic Senator Sheldon Whitehouse of Rhode Island says the unemployed desperately need those benefits.
It's what allows them to buy shoes for their kids, food for the table, gas to go out and look for that next job, pay the electricity bills. It's their lifeline. And the Republicans just cut that lifeline.
But Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell says that's not so.
The only thing Republicans have opposed in this debate are job-killing taxes and adding to the national debt.
NPR's Julie Rovner reports Senate Democrats did manage to win passage of a measure to cancel, at least for 6 months, a 21% cut in Medicare payments to doctors.
Rather than cut pay by 21%, the bill gives doctors a 2.2% increase through the end of November, and it's retroactive to June 1st, so doctors who've already seen their bills docked will get refunds. The measure had been part of a broader tax and spending bill that includes extended unemployment benefits, but that bill's been hung up in the Senate for weeks, so lawmakers decided to vote on the Medicare provision separately to prevent doctors from dropping Medicare patients. Julie Rovner, NPR News, Washington.
Some owners of businesses along the Gulf Coast are facing drastic cuts in income or bankruptcy as a result of the massive oil spill, among them Vicky Giott, whose restaurant in Louisiana is shutting down.
When I knew I couldn't get the seafood like I wanted, it brought my business down. And for everything that you have to have in a business, I would be working in here for nothing. And I didn't want to do it anymore.
Giott says with a ban on fishing and shrimping in areas of the Gulf, prices for some seafood have jumped sharply. Two hurricanes in the Pacific, both strengthening. Hurricane Celia, now a powerful Category 5 storm, moving away from shore. And Hurricane Darby has moved up to a Category 2 storm with winds of 105 miles an hour. This is NPR News from Washington. President Obama joins leaders of the world's biggest economies in Toronto today for the G20 summit. As NPR's Jim Zaroli reports, they're gathering at a time of widespread concern about slow growth and massive government debt.
The summit will kick off at a resort 2 hours north of Toronto. It will be attended by President Obama as well as the leaders of Canada, Russia, Italy, Japan, France, Britain, and Germany. Then on Saturday, a much larger group will gather, including the leaders of India, China, and Brazil. This is the first summit to take place after the Greek debt crisis, which has forced some countries like Britain to cut spending sharply. But other countries argue that the world economy has not yet fully recovered from the financial crisis, and they say now is not the time to worry about deficits. Tensions at the summit are likely to be eased somewhat by China's pledge this week to let its currency fluctuate. That's expected to help exporters in the United States and elsewhere. Jim Zaroli, NPR News.
Connecticut's governor has declared a state of emergency in Bridgeport after fierce winds ripped through the state's second-largest city. Winds reaching 78 miles an hour toppled trees and destroyed several buildings. Kentucky point guard John Wall is the number one overall pick in the National Basketball Association draft. Wall was chosen by the Washington Wizards, and he says he's confident that he can help the team.
You just got to have that confidence in, you know, working on your game. If you think you can do the right things on the next level, just going there and having the confidence in playing.
The 6'4" Wall, the Southeastern Conference Player of the Year, is the first Kentucky player ever taken with the first overall pick, and he's the fourth freshman selected first overall in the past 4 years of the NBA draft. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News in Washington.